Good morning, this is John Beaner with Wise Counsel, and you're listening to the Marketplace Witness Show. I am very excited that you've joined us this morning. We've got Kurt Coleman, who's giving his testimony. This is part of the actual Wise Counsel boot camp that was shared back on September the 8th, actually 7th, September the 7th, at the GoTo Nations headquarters. And we had four outstanding speakers that day. Kurt is an amazing story. I mean, I have heard testimonies and testimonies, but his is incredibly touching. It is a man born with great talent as a hairdresser and built a number of stores and lost them all, and how God took him into a whole new arena. He didn't even know God, didn't want to know God, but his life has completely changed, and now he's out ministering around the world in a business and through a business. Has 12 different franchisees that buy his products and services. It's exciting. I've been to his headquarters, and great control of inventory, all the kind of things you want to do in a business as well as in a ministry. Great combination of both. So again, you want to listen to this testimony. Again, we're Wise Counsel. We work with Christian entrepreneurs. Love to talk with anyone who is an entrepreneur that may have an interest in growing their business to a deeper level and being more profitable in the process. Let's just go ahead and join Kurt right now, because I think you're going to love his testimony, and you're going to get a lot from it. So listen closely.
Well, good afternoon. I'll tell you a little bit about my company, Go Fish Clothing and Jewelry. I'm sure almost everybody's been there. Not really. We do have stores. We have 12. We actually had 20 at one time. We had them in Los Angeles and Phoenix, Dallas, different places. And with the economy, we've had to close. We're pretty much on the East Coast now. We have 12 locations. We're doing pretty good still. But what I'd like to do really is kind of start at the beginning, or where we are now, and kind of backtrack a little bit and talk about how we got here. Because, you know, this wasn't a strategy. I was a hairdresser. You know, my focus was making money, kind of like the gentleman earlier. But God had other plans. And so what he did with me, like he does with so many of us, is, you know, he takes away what we think is our identity. He takes it away. And he says, okay, now I'm going to rebuild you. And that's what he did with me, as he has so many of us in this room. You know, if I've learned anything, I've learned that most of us, we don't come to Christ a winner. We come to a loser. Amen. We come to him broken, screaming, help, my boat is about to capsize. And as he said. So at any rate, what we do really is we work with the poorest of the world. About 85-90% of the merchandise we get is from people who just need an opportunity. You know, they're not asking for handouts. We're one of the few countries that really give people money. Most countries are very poor and they just don't have the money. So everyone understands I have to earn what I'm going to make. And so they understand that. But the problem is most people just don't buy their stuff. One thing I can say about all of us as human beings, you know, we're made to work. You know, we're made for duty. We're made to do something. And one thing I learned early on is what these men and women want more than anything is just an opportunity. That's all they're asking for, is just give me a chance. And with that comes a lot of self-confidence, self-worth, and that's really what it is we're all about. But again, it's not something that we just decided one day, you know, I'm a hairdresser, I'm losing that business, so I'm going to start doing this. And this is where really the testimony that John had asked me to share, and it's just, again, it's just the miracle of God. But that's his business, isn't it? He's a miracle worker. I was a hairdresser. I was a successful hairdresser. I owned six shops. I had 50 hair cutters. I'd actually won some international hair cutting awards. I was on TV, had my own product line. I was doing very well. My first main salon was in Kansas City, Missouri. I used to do a lot of professionals. Ever heard of George Brett? Cotton Fitzsimmons was one of my customers. He's the basketball guy. So we did a lot of those people, and I knew him personally. And that was my identity. That's who I was, and I was very happy. I had, you know, Christ was nowhere in my life. Met a woman. We got married, had a baby. We moved to Pensacola, Florida, where I opened up a few more salons. I loved the beach. I lived on the water down there. And then something happened in the early 80s. I had One, the economy started tanking, bad business decisions, trying to grow too quick. I had two men that worked for me that were gay, and they both died. They contracted AIDS and died. And of course, in the early 80s, for those few of you in here old enough to remember that, people thought if you contracted that, or even in the same room, that you might get it. And so we just became the plague. I mean, within a year, our business dropped. I lost 47 of my 50 hairdressers went other places because their business, their customers weren't coming. I went from making a lot of money down to 15,000 that last year. I'd lost everything. I was angry. I was confused. I was broken. It was affecting my marriage in a terrible way. And I love my wife. I love my new child. But it was tough. And then I had a really good friend of mine who I hadn't talked to since high school. We'd been great friends in high school. And he just called me out of the blue one day, and he hadn't talked to him really in about 4 or 5 years. He called me and he said, we exchanged pleasantries. And he said, well, guess what? I'm a Christian. And God told me to call you today. And when I was praying, and I was listening, I mean, he was a very good friend. And I respected him as a person. But I'm thinking, okay, all right, what's that mean? I got lots of problems, Stan. I don't need to hear about God. But he shared his faith, and I listened. And we spoke on the phone 2 or 3 times. And about a month went by. He flew down. This is, again, out of Kansas City. He flew to Pensacola, Florida, and he spent a week with my wife and I and just shared the gospel. We listened, but I had no interest. I just listened. And then he went home, and that was the end of it as far as I was concerned. About another month went by. My business had failed to the point where I owed several hundred thousands of dollars to different people. The IRS had put a lien on my house, and it actually had made me sell a car because I was taking all my employees' tax money. And I was filing the correct files, things that you do, but I wasn't sending a check along with it because I needed the money to pay all of my bills. So I was in a lot of trouble, both professionally and in my personal life with my marriage, and I just needed some help. And so I remember it was a Sunday. Liquor stores were open, or grocery stores that sold beer and stuff were open on Sundays, and my wife and I had a pretty good knockdown drag out, and so I... About noon before the football game starts, said, well, I'm going to go get me some beer and watch a game. And we got in a fight. I remember getting in the car. And I just broke down in tears. And I'm a crier now, but back then, I probably cried twice in my whole life. But I just broke down in tears. So angry, again, so frustrated, so confused, so scared. God, what is happening? What's happening? And then all the things that my friend had said to me just came flooding back into my heart, into my head. And I remember thinking, with tears running down my face, well, God, if you're real, somehow, you got to tell me, you got to show me something. So I go to the Piggly Wiggly grocery store, park my car, and I walk in, I immediately go to the beer aisle. And I walk down, and there's 1 6-pack left of Coors Light, which was the drink of choice for me. Then I don't drink now, but that's what I drank. And as I reach down to get it, honest to goodness, there's a plaque sitting on top of it. And I picked it up, and I looked at it, and I read it. And it was that poem, Footprints. Has anybody ever read that? Unbelievable. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, guys. And I start crying. I mean, I got snot running out my nose. I mean, it's terrible. But, I mean, I'm just so broken. And I went home. I apologized to my wife, which I certainly was not in the habit of doing. And I believe it was there in the beer aisle of a Piggly Wiggly that I received Jesus Christ. Because I trusted that he was who he said he was. So, fast forward a little bit. I began going to church. Didn't have a clue. You know, I remember going to one church, and I didn't have a Bible. Everybody had Bibles. And this guy said, where's your Bible? I about freaked out. Bible? What's a Bible? You know, but anyway, had a gentleman begin mentoring me. He took me to a Christian businessman luncheon one day, and I heard a wonderful story of this man. He had an organization called Mission Possible. Ralph Mueller is his name. And he was going to the country of Peru. And really, at that luncheon, he was trying to drum up some funds to go down and build houses and do different things. And, you know, I'd never done anything like that, never been around men and women, Christians. There was a few women there as well. So I went up to him afterwards, and I told him, I said, you know, I really enjoyed that, and I have no money, but boy, I got lots of time. I'd love to go down there. And he said, well, you know, we're getting ready for a 4-week, 28-day trip. If you want to come, I'd love to have you. He said, it's just me and my wife and a couple other people. I was like, wow. But I had no money, so I told him, I said, I'm not going to be able to go. Well, about a week went by, and my friend bought me a ticket. He talked to my wife, and they surprised me with an airline ticket. So a month went by, and I flew to Lima, Peru, and then took an 8-hour bus ride north to a village called Chimboti, Peru. We still go, by the way. A side note is I take all my Go Fish staff, about 30 to 35, every January. We go to the same village, work with the same people, have lots of friends, and we build houses. Peru, this particular village, average measurable precipitation is only once every 44 years, so it's a very dry place. But I went and I spent 28 days there, and you know, for those of you who have done this, you know, my life verse is Proverbs 11:25. A generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. You know, I think when you go on these trips, you go with the attitude, as you should, and the gratitude of saying, you know, Lord, you've done so much for me, I want to give back. But the reality is when you go, it pales. What you give to these people, it pales in comparison to what they do for you. So, it was wonderful. And so I spent 27 days there, built houses. I mean, I never called home. You know, back then they didn't have cell phones, and I was scared to death. I knew there was all sorts of storms. I just left it to my wife. You know, I didn't call or do anything. So I spent 27 days out there. I slept on a little mat, and it was wonderful. It was excellent. And, you know, just spending time with some of the poorest of the world, no running water, no electricity, not even many times. I remember eating just, and we, that's the first thing this guy said, is we're with them. We're not going to eat and go stay someplace else and visit the poor. We live with the poor. We ate sweet potatoes I don't usually eat breakfast, but lunch and dinner were often sweet potatoes. And so my 28th day, we came back to Lima. I had a few hours to kill. And I remember going to this little outdoor market, and I overheard an American man speaking. You know, Americans, if we can't speak another language, we just speak ours louder. And that's what was happening. And I overheard this man speaking to a sweet little husband and wife, Indian, and they had three children. And he was trying to buy, this man basically had these little bracelets, and he was selling them for a quarter. He's great, beautiful quality, certainly worth a quarter, a lot more than that. And what this man was saying is, no, I'm not going to give you a quarter for a bracelet. I want two, and I'm going to give you 15 cents. In the end, this thing, I can't do it, I can't do it. And he said, at the end of the day, after about 2 minutes, this American basically bullied these people into accepting that 15 cents. And then to add insult to injury, he didn't just hand him the money, and he didn't say thank you. He just kind of dropped the money, grabbed the bracelets, and pulled them out. It made me very angry, because I had identified so much with him. I felt so close. Again, wonderful artists, but just nothing. And I remember looking at that husband and wife and just no hope. That was their lot in life. They knew it. And nothing was going to change that. Well, I had about $50 in my pocket. And you know, I don't know if it was spite. I believe it was God's urging. I walked up to him, and I didn't speak any Spanish at the time, and I went up and I said, how much? And he told me, and I had, you know, they were a couple hundred there, and I said, I'll take all you have, and I'll pay you what you ask, because it's worth it. And I looked at that man, I just daring him to say something. I was going to introduce him to Jesus right down the punch of his legs. But he knew better, and he didn't say anything, so I bought all of them. And I went back home to a storm. I went to my one hair salon that I still had open. It was very big. It was bigger, this room. We had 20 booths, but there were only three of us at that time. And I went to Walmart, got a plastic fish bowl. I put a dollar, and I put them up to sell them. I'm thinking about maybe trying to fund another trip. I was just so excited. Anyway, within about a week, believe it or not, those were gone. I had people coming in buying several at a time. And, you know, I thought, this is great, a buck, paid a quarter. Anyway, about a month went by, and I got a call from a fellow by the name of J.D. Spencer. And he and his brother owned a chain of surf shops in Pensacola, that area. They were called Interlight Surf Shops, and I had no idea. But come to find out, Interlight Surf Shops, they were Christians. And he just called me out of the blue. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. Certainly didn't run in the same circles. And he said, hey, some kids starting coming in. We're talking 1985. Kids weren't wearing what they wear now. And so he said, we saw these really neat bracelets. You know, they said that they got them from you and blah, blah, blah at your store. And I said, well, I was on a mission trip. And, you know, I mean, I'm planning on going back, but I'm not really sure when. And he said, well, when you go, let me know. I'd love to buy some. So I went home, told my wife. And I think most men in here will agree. Our wives are pretty smart and good business women. She said, call him up, tell him they're a buck each, and you can get them for him sooner than later. And I said, okay, yes, ma'am. So I called him, and I said, you know, they're a dollar each, and I'm hoping to go back fairly soon. You know, when would you want them? He said, as soon as you can get them, and I'll take 800, 100 for each store. Wow. I paid a quarter. I'm going to wholesale them to him for a buck, and he wants 800. I mean, that was going to fund my air ticket at that time. Then my wife said, you know what you ought to do is you ought to maybe go and see if some other beach stores would be interested in buying some of these things. So I remember I did not have a car. My wife needed her car for our baby. I borrowed one from my Christian friend, the man that was mentoring me. And I remember getting up early in the morning. It was a Friday. It was probably about 7 or 8, and it was still, the sun was coming up. It was, I think, a little bit of a cloudy day. And I remember I'd gotten a piece of cardboard that I'd cut out. I spray painted it black. I got little pins, and I put on the, you know, on either side of the bracelets, and I'm in a borrowed car, and I kind of pull the car over, and I just say, what the heck am I doing? A year ago, I was standing on a stage, cutting hair, being paid for it, and doing all these things, making lots and lots of money, and here I am in a borrowed car with a piece of cardboard and bracelets, going to go down and ask people cold turkey in stores if they want to buy these bracelets and pay me COD. And I remember just, I'm scared. And I said, Lord, I am scared. Help me. Well, I called my wife that afternoon at 4:30. I'd sold 14,000 of those bracelets. 14,000. That's a true story. And not only that, is within about 6 months, I'd sold $200,000, totally out of debt. I paid everybody off in full. I believe it's because I honored God. And in return, He honored me. Amen. He said, never take advantage of my poor. Always pay them what they ask because it's worth it. And to this day, we still do that. We work with hundreds and hundreds of people, and many are very good friends, and we never shortchange them. We always pay what they ask. But I was in the wholesale business. I had no interest in just, you know, I mean, I was actually hand-to-mouth. By now, I'm doing Guatemala, too. I've been there many times and had developed some very good friendships, so I'd take the 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000 and slowly build up, go down and buy this stuff, sometimes staying down a couple weeks at a time, coming back, put them in this old rickety van I had, and would go Panhandle and Pensacola, I mean, just all over the place trying to sell them. I would go to FedEx boxes. I knew where a lot of them were, and I would overnight cash and checks to my wife so she could pay bills, and I'd be gone 2 or 3 weeks at a time. Well, then I lucked into this one guy who had done real well at buying a lot of stuff from me. I'd go in and he'd buy $300-$400 at a time, which, trust me, at that time it was a lot of money to me. And so I remember Guatemala and their products were getting very popular. And he called me one day and said, you know, I'm thinking about doing a whole line of Guatemalan shorts and these hoodies. You know, remember those hoodies everybody used to wear? And he said, can you get those and put my own label in it? And I said, sure. So he placed an order with me, $35,000. That was going to be, well, that was going to be my cost. He was going to be paying me about 70, somewhere in that area. I can't remember the exact figures. But I know my cost was about $35,000. Now, the good news is that's a great order, bigger than I ever had, ever. But the bad news was I didn't have $35,000. So I went to Guatemala, and I went and I actually took out to lunch about 15 of the people that made things for me, took them all to have pizza, and I just kind of laid out a proposal. I said, look, guys, this is where we are. I've got this great order. You're not making things for anybody else. We're kind of working together. Would you trust me? Would you trust me? And I promise, if you'll make this stuff, then I will be back within a few days and I will pay you because it's a COD order and the guy's good for it because I've done business with him for quite a while. And they all agreed. And a couple that weren't sure because they didn't have the money or whatever, my main guy said, who worked with me and made a lot of my stuff, he actually talked them into it. So I had really most of a village willing to trust me. So I stayed there in about 3 weeks. I mean, it was funny. I look back and it's crazy. I mean, I didn't know about getting tags and labels. I actually got a self stamp with permanent ink, and I went and bought white ribbon and cut it, and I'd stamp the name of this guy's company on it. We'd fold it in half and sew it into clothing. It's crazy, but that's what we did. Anyway, so I stayed about 3 weeks, and I went back, and it took about 2 or 3 days to clear customs. It all came back with me. They kept it. I rented a very small truck. And I remember driving over to Destin. It was about an hour drive from where I lived in Pensacola. And when I got about 10 minutes in there, and I hadn't had this at all, but I just had this uneasy feeling that something was wrong. And I showed up at his door, and it was locked. And there was a sign that he had been closed by the IRS. I don't know if they do that anymore. But at that time they did. He'd owed several years of back taxes, and they had closed him about a week before. And so I was not going to get paid. And more importantly, and that's good because usually it was all about me, my most important concern was that all the people who trusted me, who had nothing, begged, borrowed, and stole to do it. They trust me, and I had nothing for them. I was devastated. I called my wife, pulled off. I was crying. I said, honey, what am I going to do? She said, come on home. We'll figure something out. So I went, began to drive home. And when I got to around the Pensacola Beach area, I'm driving by, going to my house. And there was a boardwalk that I'd never even been on before. They had a lot of retail shops, restaurants, a couple of bars, things like that. And I just thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to go up there. Maybe if I tell them, look, it was normally, you know, $15 for shorts. I got $7.50 in it. Just pay me what I've got so I can sell them. So I drive up, get out. It was a beautiful day. And I start walking up the stairs. And this man, now I'm about 30 at this time. And this guy, probably about 60 or so, comes up to me. And as I'm walking up the stairs, it was kind of quiet. There wasn't too many people about. And as I'm walking up the stairs, he says, oh, hi, how are you? And shook my hand. He said, are you so-and-so? And I said, no, I'm not. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. I'm expecting somebody coming up and looking at a space here. And I said, well, that's not me. And so I walked, I left, continued, and I started walking around, and I went to every single retail store in there. You know, I had gotten really good at talking to people and selling them something, but I couldn't sell those shorts for even my cost. Nobody was interested in buying anything from me. So again, very discouraged, very worried, I began walking back to my car. And that man was still sitting there, kind of pacing, just a small little area. And I said, no luck, huh? And he said, no, he didn't show up. And then just this little bell went off in this P-noggin here. I said, so you've got a retail space? Can I see it? Anyway, long story short, I mean, again, it's crazy. He said, well, I was going to rent it for $900. It's our last one. If you want it, I'll give it to you for $600 a month. Well, guys, that day, my wife ran into Pensacola, went to an old market and found rusted four ways. I'd never done retail. I didn't have a clue. I called a couple of my friends and we set up a Guatemalan store all night. I worked. I saw the sunrise. I was ironing. I had a little cassette player playing Christian music. I remember the sun coming up and I'm saying, God, help me again. What have you got me into? I don't have a clue. Anyway, that day, $9,000. And it wasn't wholesale anymore. It was a retail guy. So I thought, there's something to this retail business. I began praying. You know, let me back up and just say that God was in it from the get-go. I didn't expect it. I just knew that I was broken. I was confused. I wanted to honor him because of the things that he told me. And so I believe, like I said, that he honored me in that process. You know, we now in our stores, we give away several thousand Bibles a year. Wasn't on purpose. I would send to my store. We began doing Christian t-shirts. I remember going to work one day and I heard a song by Twyla Paris called "Our God is an Awesome God." And I thought, what a great saying. I like that. So I went and had a t-shirt. I had a lot of people coming in on Pensacola Beach. Nobody really sold anything like that. All the t-shirts were very sexually oriented or surfing oriented. So I just got a white t-shirt and in blue letters, "Our God is an Awesome God." I mean, within a few days, we'd sold. I bought 72, which was my minimum. And we sold them, almost all of them. And then we started doing two or three, you know, just a scripture, just something to encourage. And then on three different occasions, I gave away my own Bibles. I had them at work. I got in the habit of praying in the morning. It was usually just me and my wife working. And, you know, I remember, you know, just men and women asking questions. And so then I, you know, gave mine away. I went and I contacted a company and I began wholesaling. And now we're doing about 10,000 a year. We don't call them by Holy Bibles anymore. We've changed the cover. It says God's Story. And I do that because, really, they are. They're God's stories. We are God's stories. And so, you know, sometimes people hear that word holy or Bible. And it's not necessarily, I won't say a turnoff, but people who aren't Christians particularly, and some who are, that scares them, that intimidates them. But to be told, no, this isn't. This is just a story of how God takes a loser like me and changes things and builds you back up. So those are the sort of things we do. Again, not a market strategy. We've just kind of fallen into it. I hope and believe that we impact hundreds and hundreds of people. We are in a sense of global. I travel. I go to India, Indonesia, Thailand, Guatemala, Peru, Mexico. We have some very great friends. We work with Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists. I don't care. None of that matters. All that matters is that I and my staff are a reflection of Christ. That's what changes people. You know, Matt said some very, very important things. You know, it's about the relationship. You know, I have had the honor of praying with and leading men and women of other religions to Christ. But it isn't when you go in with that agenda. That will never work, or very seldom. Not if it's going to stick. What sticks is when there's a relationship. When it's your friends. There's a mutual respect. And when you have that, people come around. So, that's what we do. We've done it now since opened our store in 1987. And we're still around, and we're still doing exactly what we've always done. And so, anyway, that's my story.
All right, thank you again for listening. This is John Beener with Wise Counsel. You've been listening to the Marketplace Witness Show and Kurt Coleman's testimony. Kurt, again, is the founder of Goatfish Clothing and Jewelry, based in Brunswick, Georgia. Phenomenal story, testimony about doing business around the world and what God's done through him and ministering to people in other nations and the process. Thanks for joining us again. If you want to reach us and even be able to connect more with Kurt, of course you can find him on the internet, but you can find us on the internet at AskWiseCounsel.com, AskWiseCounsel.com. Again, our number is 332-0425. 332-0425. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next time, next Saturday, for the Marketplace Witness Show.